السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
الله
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to get together once again and commemorate the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini, and also to renew our allegiance to Imam Mahdi ajjala Allah ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Just before approaching the time of his birth anniversary, the topic that we chose for this meeting this year, as you have noticed, is towards an honorable community of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And I am very happy that alhamdulillah what we planned has become a reality. So I should thank you for coming here and helping us to be together and address this important issue. I should also especially thank our dear speakers who have come from different corners of the world, from North America up to Australia and from Iran. So alhamdulillah, we have a very good representation of different parts of our community worldwide. So thank you for all our speakers for taking the time and their trouble to come and be with us. We are very grateful. And I hope the theme that we have chosen for this year would continue to be in our mind in the months of Ramadan and also Muharram. So I will explain, inshallah, gradually why we chose this theme of honor, because I think this is something that has to become a common discourse among us, and something which I think would be preparing us for, inshallah, welcoming Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we didn't choose this theme because we ran out of subjects and topics. We chose this theme because we think it's very, very important, and I think that's the time to really engage in discussion about this theme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us that He has honored children of Adam. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. So honor is extended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all mankind. It's not for any particular group of people, particular race, it's not for particular religious people, it's for all children of Adam. This directly implies that all mankind have right to live with honor and dignity and respect. People talk about right for life, right for education, for religion, for food, for shelter, for all these things, which are very important. And for sure, we have to work hard towards respecting and giving opportunity to every person to have these rights. But in Islam, especially in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we have a right which is more important than any of these rights. is more important than right for even life. You may wonder what can be greater than life. What we understand from Islam and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the examples given to us in the life of the Prophet and Imams, and in particular in the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and also we find in the agenda of Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Is that the right for honor and respect precedes even right for life. You can physically keep people alive, but if they are denied the respect and honor, this doesn't worth living. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Al-mawtu awla min rukub al-ar." It's better to die if the cost for life is to lose your honor, to be humiliated. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Hayhat minna dhilla, ya'ballahu dhalika lana, wa rasuluhu wa hujurun tabat wa tahurat." Allah, who has given us honor, would not be pleased if we accept to be humiliated. Rasulullah would not be pleased. Believers would not be pleased, and those pure mothers, and in particular the Lady Fatima, on whose laps we were brought up, will not be pleased if we exchange our honor with anything from dunya, even if it is life. So the right for honor and dignity is the greatest right. If a person is put in a cage or in a prison, and food and water is thrown at him, so he can continue this life for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, but this is not the life of a human being. When you live in a cage or in a prison or under dictatorship, this is not the real life. So the right for honor, in my understanding of Islam, is the greatest right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to every human being, and no one can take this from anyone. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam said, "La takun abda ghayrik qad ja'alaka Allahu hurra." Don't be slave of anyone. Don't let anyone to control you, and in this way take away your honor and dignity, because Allah has made you free. Something which is granted by Allah, no one else can take it away from you. Even you don't have right to surrender and to lose your honor and dignity. So now, in Islamic teachings, in Islamic morality, in Islamic code of behavior, what we have is a series of instructions how to reach the point that humanity can live with honor and dignity. Starting from the person himself, every one of us is responsible for having a dignified life. Sometimes this dignified life can be challenged internally. When we follow the soul which is not pure, the soul which is commanding to do bad things, the soul which is nafsa ammare, this would take us to those dark valleys of unknown, that you would lose your honor and dignity. A person who is addicted or drunk or has got into crimes, first of all, has harmed himself, has done injustice to himself by losing his honor and dignity. We read in hadith, "Akrim nafsaka an kulli daniyya wa in saqatka ila ar-ragaib فإنك لن تعتاض بما تبذل من نفسك عوضا. Try to safeguard your honor. Try to dignify yourself with respect to what your soul, which is not purified, wants to push you in. Even if it is bringing some pleasure, some short-term, worldly, temporary, superficial pleasure, because what you are losing would never be replaced. You are losing your honor, and you are not going to replace this with anything else. When honor is lost, you cannot compensate. What can you bring to replace the honor, the modesty, the dignity, the respect if it is lost? Can you pay some financial penalty to gain it back? Can you do some publicity to gain it back? If someone has gone into the crime, a life of criminals, then you cannot get it back. So we have to be very careful with our own honor and dignity to live a life of piety, morality, a life of charity, a life of service to the truth, to humanity, so that our honor is kept. But also it's a responsibility of family. This is very difficult for a person if from childhood that person has not been brought up with respect. Islam tells us that you have to be very careful about the way you treat your children, not only for nutrition and dressing and education, but more importantly for their honor. Even in choosing a name for your children, you have to be very careful. In the time of Jahiliyyah, sometimes they used to give very bad names to their children. Maybe just it was a kind of making a kind of, I don't know, joke, or, you know, entertaining themselves with laughing at their children. But Islam says you have to give very good name to your children. You have to respect your children. You see, for example, in Hadith Qissa, how Lady Fatima is addressing her children. Ya thamarata ayni, sorry, ya qurrata ayni wa thamarata fuadi. This is the most respectful way that you can speak to your children. To trust them. Our hadith says, al-aminu man ammantahu. If you don't trust your children, if you hide from them your money, your valuables, and they feel that you don't respect them, you don't trust them, then this gradually makes them without honor. And then they actually become what you were worried that they might become. We have to respect them. We have to tell them from childhood how to safeguard their respect. This is the role of teachers, the role of the schools. That the first thing that we want to have students who are dignified. And a person who is dignified would not do bad things also to other people. This is one of the beauties of honor. Our hadith says, those who have no respect for themselves, you can expect anything bad to come from them. مَنْ هَانَتْ عَلَيْهَ نَفْسُهُ فَلَا تَأْمَنْ شَرَّهُ. If someone doesn't have any value for himself, then you should not feel safe. With respect to this person, anything bad can come because he has no respect for himself. The people who really are respectful to themselves, they never say bad words to other people. They never do injustice to other people. A person who is kareem, a person who is aziz, would never, you know, damage the honor of other people. Then it's the responsibility of community. In our community, we have to do our best so that we grant this respect not only to our members, but also to our neighbors, To the people with whom we interact in the larger society, this respect is for elders of the community. This respect is for the people who are poor, the people who are ill, the people who are refugees, the people who have lots of social issues. We have to have measures in place so that everyone would be dealt with respect. And also, when it comes to our position in this society compared to other communities, in every aspect we have to try hard to be example. When it comes to education, when it comes to contribution to the economy of the state, when it comes to family life, when it comes to productivity, anything, we have to try to be example. Then this would be a community which is honorable. And then one stage remains. And that is when the whole world is governed with this principle of honor. And that is why we ask in Dua-i Iftitah, which was a common reference point for us today, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. Those who say this dua truly are the people who have already established honor in themselves as individuals, and in themselves as families, and in themselves as community, and now one stage remains, and that is to extend it to humanity. So if we want to prepare for that day, we have to start from now. We have to make sure that we have dignified individuals, dignified families, and dignified community. And then what we ask, of course, would not be only for ourselves. We want this for everyone. This dawlatan kareema, this generous, noble, honorable government, definitely is not discriminating against anyone. You cannot be honorable and humiliate people. You cannot be just and then only concerned about the rights of your community and be unjust to other people. Justice is universal. Honor is universal. We want this honor for all people. The only people should be worried. It's very beautiful in this dua. The only people who should be worried about that day are not the people who are not Muslims or who are not Shia. No. It's not a matter of Islam or Kufr, Shia or Sunni. No. It's a matter of honesty and dishonesty. تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهُ وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ. There is no mention of Kufr. Kufr is not a big trouble. Kufr is not a big issue. The main issue is nifaq, is dishonesty. Those who say we want dignity, we want honor, we want rights for humanity, but they do all mischief undercover. That's the problem. If submission to God and truth prevail, then those who are dishonest would have difficult time. And they would lose automatically their power and position. For a hypocrite, for a person who is dishonest, you don't need to fight. You don't need weapon against those who are not honest. For the one who is not honest, you just need to show people the real face. Just shed some light on them, that's enough. You never need to fight darkness. Just bring light. Darkness goes away. جَاءَ الْحَقَّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. This is the nature of falsehood that cannot stand against truth. This is the nature of darkness that cannot stand against light. Even if you have the light of one candle, it will overcome darkness. So if we establish this honor in ourselves and our community and extend it to humanity, we shouldn't be worried about too many fights or conflicts. I think truth will prevail. I don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all the prophets and messengers and imams so that again in the end of the world, value and honor will be established by sword. No, inshallah we will reach the point that the truth, the honor, the justice, everything will be established by real desire of people. Maybe we will have some marginal use of sword, but that would not be the main factor. Humanity would reach that point of maturity and understanding that when they see the Hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he comes out of the cloud, then they would not choose any darkness over that light. No one would be replacing Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
With any politician or any philosopher or any person who is just giving lip service to these values, but the reality is not there. So what I hope we can make it a common discourse in our majalis in the months of Ramadan and especially in Muharram is talk more about this issue of karama. How we are to understand this fundamental issue, which is very important in the message of Islam and in the mission of Imam Zaman. The late Ayatollah Mutahhari, Rahmatullah Alayh, says in some of his works that the more I study, the more I think, the more I am convinced that the core of Islamic ethics is karama. Everything else should be understood in the light of karama. And this is definitely what Imam Mahdi would grant to people. And inshallah, we hope that we would be given that karama, that honor in dunya under his leadership and in akhirah, inshallah, under the banner of Islam and all the prophets and messengers and Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. So this is my invitation to all of us, especially those who have access to pulpit, to member, to classrooms, to writing, that let us engage in this important discussion about karama, and let us equip ourselves with everything we need in order to achieve this individually, family level, community level, and then globally. I would like to take this opportunity to make a few nice announcements, because alhamdulillah we have people from different centers and different towns. So there are some projects for our community that I would like to use this opportunity to mention. Inshallah, soon we are going to start application process for Hawza Ilmiya. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with a very good Hawza program here in Islamic College. And as you know, we had a very good start last year. We started from September last year. Then we had second enrollment in February. So we have now, alhamdulillah, about 70 students, more than 20 full-time students, and we have part-time students. So inshallah, Hawza is going to start enrollment soon. Already posters are made ready, and please refer to the site of the Hawza and familiarize yourself. And the other program we are starting from this year is pre-Hawza program for Saturdays. So every Saturday from 10 to 3, we will have 4 hours of teaching and 1 hour for Salat and lunch. And this is for GCSE, A-level students, but also for adults. So we hope that inshallah, over 4 semesters, our dear members of community would familiarize themselves with basic of aqaid and akhlaq and fiqh and ahkam and Arabic. If they want to follow, then this would be accepted as credits for their hoze. If they just want to go to other avenues of study, then that would help them at least for their personal development. The other thing is we have launched Allama Tabatabai Award. And this is also a very important project for our community. This is an award for students of GCSE and A-level who have got good results. So every person can register, and there is a very minimal charge, a nominal charge for registration. But when the results are released, you put the results, and then the first result, the best result, would take £500. And then five people by draw will take £200. But the main thing is that after that also we will have tutorial for them to prepare them for finding the best, inshallah, subject for their study in university, you know, and professional guidance, inshallah. And the third thing is that we have a course. We have a course in Qom starting from 15th of August, 6 days in Qom. Inshallah, Islamic belief system will be taught, and 4 days, inshallah, ziyarah of Mashhad and some visits, and then again back to Qom for 6 days, Islamic plan for life will be studied. So details are available on Islamic Center's website and also IIIS.ir. So please be aware and also inform other people about these three educational programs, because I think honor very much depends on education. Without education, it would be difficult to speak of honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala please our Imam Zaman with whatever we do, think, and plan, inshallah.